Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
This is Bloomberg Business of Sports.
The world's changing, and what are things we can do to transform our business and engage our fans globally in different ways?
People are using their name and likeness to create more opportunities, more stakes in companies.
In order to turn the organization around, we had to turn it around not only just on the baseball operations side, but on the business operations side.
Football and any other sport is very difficult, but I like to broaden my horizons and be able to expand.
Sports need to be consumed live, and that's a big competitive advantage for intellectual property holders of sports content in the media landscape.
Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jason Kelly.
And I'm Mike Lynch.
And I'm Michael Barr. And this is the Bloomberg Business of Sports, where we talk to some of the biggest players in the industry.
All right. We're really happy today to be joined by Chatri Sichotung. He is the founder and chairman, CEO of Group One Holdings. You probably know it best as this massive media platform in Asia and specifically around the ONE Championship MMA. It is all the rage. And this is a guy who's right in the center of it. Chatri, really nice to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
So MMA certainly is having a moment. This is not news to you, but it is news, I think, as you think about our broad global audience, you know, really locking in on this. What has happened? Why has this accelerated the way that it has?
Well, you know, MMA is a Western coined word, mixed martial arts.
Yeah.
But actually, if you look at Asia, martial arts has been here for 5,000 years, and, you know, Asia's been the birthplace of martial arts. And so for us at ONE, we celebrate martial arts as opposed to MMA. I think MMA, you know, has connotations of blood sport and violence and controversy in America. But out here, martial arts in Asia is very much a way of life, you know? Parents all over the continent still send their kids every day to martial arts schools to learn not only how to defend themselves, but more important, to learn the values of courage, humility, honor, respect, work ethic, and so many other incredible values that you know martial arts teaches and espouses. So for ONE, we're very focused on a celebration, you know, celebrating martial arts as Asia's greatest cultural treasure on this continent of 4.5 billion people. At the same time, you know, martial arts is a global phenomenon. It always has been with Bruce Lee and all that. You know, Steven Seagal, Jean-Claude Van Damme, and the list goes on and on. Even Dwayne The Rock Johnson, even today, uses a lot of martial arts moves in his movies. So it's always been part of global interest. And so I think the fact that, you know, there's a global duopoly, UFC operating in the West and ONE operating in the East, that have risen to truly global properties, I think that has been a very good thing for the popularity and the rise of martial arts. And I'd say another kind of fortuitous coincidence is that the rise of smart mobile devices and social media has also been a big contributing factor to the rise of martial arts. And here's why. You can't see the golf ball, the baseball, the basketball, the soccer ball, tennis ball on your mobile device very, very well. But millennials and Gen Z all spend their time on the mobile device. They wake up in the morning, look at Facebook or Instagram, et cetera. And guess what? What are the most popular sports on the Facebook platform or Instagram or any of these things? It's combat sports. It's gaming. And these are two content stacks that Group One has in terms of its platform for sports. We have two sports properties. One is called One Championship, which is a celebration of martial arts, and then one is One Esports, which is a celebration of gaming. So, I think the rise of smart mobile devices, social media, and the fact that the content is so bite-sized and consumable on a mobile device and social media, and the world is so connected. You know, you put out a viral video and it goes through, you know, every corner of the globe.
Right.
If I can expand on that, first of all, for anyone not familiar, Group One Holdings is Asia's largest global sports media platform. And according to Nielsen, One ranks among the world's top 10 biggest sports media properties for viewership and engagement. First of all, congratulations. Second of all, why do you think you have reached that plateau with One?
Well, you know, if you look at the other top 10 sports properties on that list at Nielsen, I mean, Nielsen came out with this massive industry report featuring the biggest sports properties around the world a couple months ago. And yeah, I was very happy and surprised to see One at the, you know, in the top 10, some metrics actually top three in the world. And here's the thing, you know, we are the youngest property by far in terms of age. We're only a decade old, but if you look at the other top 10 players like an NFL or NBA or EPL, F1, these are properties that have been around for 70 to 100 years. And I think, you know, the reason why we've been able to break through the top 10, even though we're a decade old, is exactly what I said, is we are the first global sports property to be born in the digital era, in the social media era, in the era of the smart mobile device. So in a way, we got lucky. You know, I always joke around that I'm like the Forrest Gump of sports. Of course, when I started One, I did, you know, believe in the vision, and I did believe it was a massive opportunity, the fact that Asia had never ever created a global sports property, you know, and yet every region of the world has several multi-billion dollar sports properties that are part of the fabric of history, culture, and daily life. I mean, in the U.S., you have NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NASCAR, UFC. In Europe, you have EPL, F1, Champions League, and Bundesliga, and La Liga, Serie A. In Asia, you literally have nothing on a pan-Asian basis or on a global basis except One today, right? But what I mean by being Forrest Gump of sports is that, look, I just started One 10 years ago, and then I just ran and ran and ran and ran, and, you know, got lucky that the smart mobile device took off the same time that I was running, and, you know, social media became a massive thing the last decade, if you think about it, right? If you think about Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you know, all these things have just been phenomenon in the last several years. And so we were very lucky to ride that. You know, 89% of our fan base are millennial and Gen Z. They wake up in the morning, you check their Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever. They like our videos, share our videos every day, all over the world. And that's how we grew in popularity. And obviously it translated into TV viewership and other platforms. So, we've been very fortunate in that. I mean, like, our strategy for the last 10 years is, let's be ubiquitous across all platforms. Let's be platform agnostic.
Right.
So across Asia, we're on the largest free-to-air TV broadcasters. We're on paid TV and digital, social, and every platform possible. We're on own platforms as well as third-party platforms. We're on local, national platforms as well as regional and global platforms like a Facebook. Mm-hmm. So, that's been the strategy, is to proliferate our content across all platforms.
Well, I'm the Forrest Gump of news, so I'm with you.
Hey, Chatri. Awesome. Hey, Chatri. It's Michael Lynch up in Boston. So how did a Tufts grad, I got to throw that in there for my son-in-law, another jumbo as well, a guy like you, who's a very successful hedge fund manager in New York City, all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but transform into the chair and CEO of Group One Holdings?
Well, you know what? I many years ago, my father went bankrupt in the family. We lost our home when I was much younger, and lost the car and everything. And then my father abandoned us. And when we were really poor, my mother and I and my younger brother, I genuinely thought that, you know, if I become wealthy, I'll be able to solve all my mother's problems, suffering and poverty. And I just thought money was the answer. And for me, Silicon Valley and Wall Street were the two ways to make big money. And when I reached to the, you know, top of Wall Street, so to speak. You know, I was MD at a $15 billion hedge fund, and then I jumped off and started my own $500 million hedge fund. And on paper, I had everything in the world. I had, you know, the houses, the cars, the material things, the title, whatever you want to call it, societal success. But it was really crazy. But, you know, one day I was around, I think, maybe 34, 35, and I was had a record year as a hedge fund manager, and went down to a sushi bar near the office, and I just was super excited, full of adrenaline. And then suddenly a wave of loneliness and a wave of emptiness came about me. And I'm like, I couldn't put my finger on it, but I just started thinking about my life. And I said, you know, I'm going to have more zeros to my hedge fund, and I'm going to have more zeros to my bank account and all that. I'll have more houses and cars. But then I started thinking, what's the point of life? Like, what really? And I was really having this existential moment. And I just, for the next few weeks, I couldn't sleep. And I really, really like thinking to myself, can I do this for the rest of my life? And what is the point of life, to accumulate a lot of material things? Is that really the point? And I started thinking deep down, and I said, you know, I climbed to the top of the wrong mountain, is what I concluded. And I was obviously in a fortunate position where I could retire, and I did retire from Wall Street. And I said, you know, I'm going to pursue my greatest passion in life. I've been doing martial arts my entire life. I've been a student, an athlete, a teacher, a coach, and now a CEO in martial arts for the last 35 plus years, and I still train every day. And so I just said, look, I want to do something with my life that I am truly passionate about and that I'm truly helping people, as opposed to having a life of collecting material things and whatnot. And I'm not saying that's wrong. You know, everybody has their own definition of success. Just for me, that was not my definition, and I realized, you know, I just want to have fun, and I really want to, you know, share my greatest passion in life with the world. And that is what led me to come back to Asia and eventually say, you know, I'm going to live a life of martial arts, which has always been what I had ever since I was a kid growing up in Thailand. And so when I saw this white space opportunity, you know, again, every region of the world has several multi-billion-dollar sports properties. And the NFL is worth $100 billion. NBA is worth $62 billion. You know, F1, tens of billions of dollars. EPL and Champions League and all that is the same thing. And yet in Asia, with 4.5 billion people here, there was not a single sports property that was regional or global. So I said, okay, it's going to be easy. 4.5 billion people here. Let me just start a sports property. And I'm sure, as long as we start around martial arts, because it's, you know, Asia's greatest cultural treasure, the 5,000-year history on the continent, it's going to be super easy. And I was dead wrong, because the first 3 years, it was littered with failures and rejections, thousands. I mean, every single broadcaster, brand, government, you know, agency, you know, even prospective employees, even my own friends and family, thought it was a crazy idea and stupid. And for the first 3 years, the company went nowhere and literally was burning through millions of dollars with zero results, no TV ratings, no viewership, you know, barely got off the ground, and was just a complete disaster in the first 3 years.
Well, it's a remarkable success story. We look forward to spending more time with you down the line. You've got a big event coming up this weekend, the first all-female card. I believe you can check that out on One Empower Live on Bleacher Report and Bleacher Report's YouTube channel. It's an amazing story, both from a media and a sports perspective. Our thanks to Chatri Sitoyang. He is the founder, chairman, and CEO of Group One Holdings. Really good to spend some time with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, sir. You've been listening to the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, and we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursdays talking to some of the biggest names in sports. You can find me on Twitter at Big Bar Sports.
And I'm Mike Lynch. You can follow me at LynchEWCVB.
And find me, Jason Kelly, at Jason Kelly News. You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports on Bloomberg Radio around the world.
What could you do if your data was working for you and not against you? With Bloomberg delivering enterprise data directly to your systems, you get easy access to the details you want, optimized for higher level analysis, and financial data experts committed to helping you maximize your every move. Our data is made for more, so you can show the world what you're made of. Visit Bloomberg.com/enterprise data to learn more.